Dan, we've both become dads relatively recently. Me a few years ago, you about a year ago.
Yes, exactly.
You decided to double up. You went with the twin option.
Instant family, as everyone tells us gleefully.
Yeah, good way.
With a little chuckle.
Good way to put it.
Yeah.
Interesting blog post this week I've seen from Lauren Dubar. And she's written this and is clearly a mum.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a parent recently. She has published a helpful list of the things you must do before your baby arrives.
Are these selfish musts, as in once you have babies, your life will change and you won't be able to do these things? Is that where it's
exactly
heading? Everyone warns you, web guy, everyone warns you that life will change, and you do take that in, but there's a feeling, I think you forget that you just can't up and go anywhere, can you?
Yes, that might feature in the list. Anyway, right, I'll run through them. And
let's go through it.
You can tell me if, yes, you miss being able to do these things, hang on, maybe you did think ahead. You did take the opportunity to do these couple of these things while you still could.
I think this is shaping to be a very depressing exercise, but go on.
No, because the bottom line is you still wouldn't trade any of
this stuff.
Yeah,
that's it.
Okay, number one thing you must do, take a photo of your face. Really zoom in on your eyes, Lauren says. There may be a day you'd like to look back at your before photo.
Ah, that's good. That's good. What was it about the eyes?
Well, the way I interpret this is you will be so sleep deprived, your face will never look the same again. And I feel like there is truth. I feel like there is truth. Our boy is a great sleeper now, but he went through a period where he wasn't. And I feel like it's done irreparable harm.
You look fine to me. We're lucky as well. We've got some good sleepers. But I have noticed, and it might be just coinciding with the age that I am, but grey coming into my beard.
Yes.
I think it's just coincidental. But
well, that's the thing. How do you separate just the natural aging process from what might be,
the other look at the eyes, I guess, you'd look at whether there's a sort of happiness in your eyes. You can see a lot in pictures of whether people are feeling fulfilled or not.
Just looking at your eyes as you say that? It's not so much the eyes, I thought, as the baggage that hangs around the eyes.
Well, I've had that since 25, so
okay.
I'm stuffed.
Well, you're 1 year in, so it's probably still not too late to get a before photo.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
Do that. Another suggestion, go for a drive by yourself, turn the music up really loud, listen to the, quote, filthiest gangster rap and shout out all the explicit lyrics. Did you do that?
No, I've never wanted to, never did so.
You're not really living the thug
life. No, I haven't lost that one.
But what about music in general? Do you have a second thought about, is this inappropriate to be playing in front of a child?
No, not at this stage. But I guess I can see if you're listening to, because most of the FM music of today's generation is, it's a lot about sex and love, instant love. But I'm a big talkback radio listener, so
yeah.
Maybe I'll have to learn to give that away and listen to the Wiggles.
Yes. Okay. Well, you might have that in your future.
Mm-hmm.
Lauren goes on to say, actually, even better than that suggestion, drive around in complete silence.
Ooh.
Roll the windows up, enjoy the sound of your own breathing, don't scream at anyone.
Okay, sounds...
the silent car trip.
Yep.
That is gone.
You get a lot of questions back there from your young fella?
Yeah, a lot of questions.
Yeah.
See, I don't mind the questions.
Mm.
I know that bugs a lot of people. I've heard parents, a lot of parents seem to have their snappy comeback that they think they can use to snooker the kid. Because the kids will notoriously say, why is this? And you answer it, and then they'll say, why? Why is that? Why is this? Why is that? And so some parents have crafted, clever little lines that just snooker the kid to bring a conversation to the end. But I think that's not, I don't think that's good. I reckon let them ask all the questions they want. one day we'll be wishing they would talk to us.
That's right.
So make the most of these.
And I think I'm looking forward to one of the few times in my life that someone thinks I'm knowledgeable.
Yes.
Why does the tree have leaves? Well, my knowledge from year four science is that that sort of thing.
That's a trap. I'm already feeling like I don't want Isaac to be under the misunderstanding that I know everything. We were in the car the other day, and I think he asked something. No, he didn't ask. He didn't ask anything. We were just, me and my wife were talking, and she said something like, "Oh, I'll Google that." And then next minute, his voice from the back seat: "What, Mum? What's Google it? What is Google it? What's Google it?" So I don't know. That's his probably first introduction to Googling it.
Yeah, pretty much. Google it. I guess, yeah, if you don't appreciate your kids coming to you, they'll see Google as their adopted parent.
Yes. Google is all our adopted parent.
That's it.
Here's what you should have done before the babies arrived. Go to the toilet with the door closed, look around at all four walls, and appreciate the complete privacy. You may not be at this phase yet.
I have noticed, if I'm brushing my teeth or anything in the bathroom, I do see a few little hands creeping under the gap under the door. And one of our lovely girls is going through a bit of an anxiety, separation anxiety. So, yeah, no, I'm already appreciating.
It's like the bathroom, the toilet, anywhere like that is just another room. Like, okay, there's a door on it. You can open the door. You can walk in like you would, you know, into another room. It's just another room. I can go in here. Why not? Yeah. I like this one. Wake up when you've finished sleeping.
Yeah.
Does that sound like a
dream? Well, I think it sounds like for you and me that the sleeping situation at the moment is pretty good. So there hasn't been too many points where I've been jolted awake.
Wow. Okay.
So.
Okay. Read something smart. And then in caps, not poetry. It's really important. It does not rhyme.
Yeah. I guess alluding to a lot of reading of children's books.
A lot of rhyming children's books out there.
Yeah. Yeah. Haven't got to the rhyming ones too much.
The rhyming is good. And I only noticed this reading kids' books. There is something about the rhyme that keeps the attention.
Okay.
I don't think it's just a coincidence that all these books rhyme.
I think I heard author Mem Fox talking about it's the rhythm and tempo that comes with it that engages them.
So I would believe that.
Yeah, when you're reading, rhyming, you sort of get into a bit of a swing of it.
Okay, couple last ones here. Got to admit, this one I'm still managing to do, and that is shower every day. I haven't had to cut back on the showers, I'll admit. Still fitting that in.
Oh yeah, I'll admit that there's been a few shower free days since.
Yeah, but what about before the kids were born?
No, I was pretty dedicated showerer, believe it or not. Because basically if I'm left on my own, I don't know if I feel like I've got that 15 minutes to duck away. So
yeah. Especially with two. You've got your hands full. All right, last one. Do this before your baby arrives. If you're expecting, put a pair of scissors really close to the edge of the bench. Put a glass on the coffee table. Put a plate of food in front of someone and let them judge the temperature for themselves. All these things, Lauren says, will send an adrenaline surge through your veins.
Ooh.
It's true. Everything, you're on the lookout for potential disaster points everywhere.
Yeah, she's on the money. She's on the money. I'd say for most people, all of those things. I think I'm lucky with a few. But as you said at the very start, would you trade in those little freedoms, little joys? I doubt it.
Nah. It's worth it. Totally worth it. I wonder if you've seen this week at Newsman. A word created 22 years ago on The Simpsons has this week been added to the dictionary?
Well, The Simpsons, I think we've discussed before, one of my all-time favourite shows. Probably don't watch it as much these days, but no doubt that it's had a massive cultural impact on society, whether it's here in Australia, definitely in the US, but it doesn't surprise me at all. But I haven't seen this story.
Just on that, hearing it dubbed into a different language, like Chinese, that would be weird, wouldn't it? To watch that and those voices that we're so familiar with, hearing a different version.
Yeah, wouldn't be quite the same, I don't think. But no. Fun anyway.
So this word, any guesses what it could be?
Would it be three letters long? No.
No.
No. It's not coming to mind straight away.
Imbiggin.
Imbiggin.
Yeah, so apparently this episode, 22 years ago, a character said, a noble spirit imbiggins the smallest man. And then another character was heard to say, imbiggins? I've never heard that word before I moved to Springfield. So it was a word they made up, but it sort of means, you know, enlarges. It's like a, you know, it's just like a corrupted version of, you know, it's part bigger, part enlarge.
Yes.
All mash it together and you got a word. The dictionary says it's to be used in an informal and humorous way.
That's quite interesting because you would think it would be one of the very overused catchphrases from The Simpsons. I was leaning towards dolt.
Interesting you bring that up. That word, dolt, was added to the dictionary in 2001.
It's been there. It's been there for years.
Now, that word was invented by somebody else, but it was made, you know, it was made famous in current culture by The Simpsons, no doubt. And so it was added back in 2001. But yeah, you're right. That's the word you would think of. That's what you really associate with the show. But yeah, so much so. I mean, that's been in there for
so I wonder why this other word has got in, because you don't, just from the way you were reading it, doesn't sound like that episode of The Simpsons comes straight to mind for you.
No, imbiggin, like, it rings a bell.
It does.
It's probably,
yeah.
And that's probably why it's in there. Like, it is a good word, really. You kind of, you automatically know what it means before you, you know, read the definition. But yeah, not, you know, not a famous moment on the show.
Well, I mean, what qualifies for the word to get in? Does it have to be used a lot or just one that really tickles the dictionary's fancy?
Maybe both of those things. The other Simpsons word that has gone viral in current culture is meh. M-E-H.
Meh.
Meh. A verbal shrug of indifference, it's defined as.
That's exactly. Indifference was the word I would use.
Yeah.
Meh.
Bart Simpson invented it, apparently.
Okay.
So that's not in the dictionary yet, but widely tipped to make its way into the dictionary probably pretty soon.
Well, we have talked about this before. I feel like it slums up the dictionary a bit to have this sort of pop culture-y sort of...
This pop culture-y.
See, that won't get in. Culture-y.
Pop culture-y. You might have just invented your own word that could enter.
Meh, I don't think so.
Meh. Interesting that you talk about, you know, trashing up the dictionary. Because along with imbiggin, they've accepted a few more words this year. Do you want me to run these by you?
Yep. Yes, please.
Tell me what you think they mean. Subtweet.
No, I would think maybe a reply to a tweet.
It's sort of like when you send a tweet with a very specific person in mind that you want to read it, but you don't mention them at all.
Right.
So you will see this tweet from someone and you'll be like, oh, okay, that sounds kind of pointed, like they're trying to, you know, make a point to someone, but there's no mention of who it might be for.
I felt like I received a subtweet the other day. There was a reporter that I follow on Twitter who sent a tweet about a story that I had just done on my news bulletins.
Okay.
And it was sort of mocking the whole... It was about Adelaide Oval becoming inducted into the SA Hall of Fame, Music Hall of Fame.
Okay.
And he was sort of implying that... doesn't really fit there.
Right.
So I thought, like, ooh, if he's listening, that's what it was.
Yeah.
But probably not. He probably just was being funny.
Well, that's the thing. You can never really know. But sub-tweet. That's interesting. You might have been subtweeted.
Subtweet. Thank you, web guy.
Mansplain.
A man's explanation.
Yep.
A man's warped explanation of something.
Yeah, I think it's sort of like apparently, you know, men or certain men can be kind of, I guess it's like a bit of a know-it-all factor or overbearing, or I don't know if a man can mansplain to another man, or if it's, you know, exclusively when a man, you know, an overbearing man explains to a woman, probably is the more common mansplain moment.
A lot of mansplaining going on.
I guess I just mansplained.
You did.
I just did that. Dumpster fire.
Ooh.
It's like, okay, this is a situation or something that is completely disastrous.
Okay.
Like really bad.
So is it the new train wreck?
I guess it's very similar to that, yeah.
But it's ongoing, I guess. It's still burning out of control.
Yeah,
it stinks because it's from the dump.
Yeah, like a fire is bad, but when you've got a fire happening inside a dumpster, it's like, well, you know, it's
even worse.
Yeah.
Dumpster fire.
What do you think I said?
Yeah.
What did you think I said? Come on,
I was picturing a dump fire, not dumpster.
Dump fire. Yeah, no, definitely dumpster. I might be mumbling.
I don't know what I'm keep going.
Cryptocurrency. Oh, we don't even need to go into that.
Nah, still don't know it. Still don't.
No one knows. And glamping. Feels like an old one, that one.
Yeah, that one's old.
Should have been in years ago.
Yeah.
Anyway. Next word to be added to the dictionary will be, what was the one you
used?
Pop culture.
Thanks, web guy. I feel really good now.
I think this is a really cool story that we've stumbled across this week, newsman. You think of Barbie.
Yes.
And what kind of images does that conjure up for you in your head?
Or sizzling sausages, steaks, Bunnings. Or.
Interesting.
A toy from Mattel.
Yeah, I'm talking about the toy.
Is it still Mattel? I guess so.
I think it's Mattel.
Hmm.
Famous thing about Barbie was that if a human existed with the same proportions as Barbie, physically would not be able to walk.
Yeah, we've seen some frightening attempts at plastic surgery by some demented women that have thought the Barbie look in real life would be the dream look, and we can safely say it isn't. Just out of proportion.
Way out of proportion. She's like a beanpole with somehow still a quite enormous bust.
Mm-hmm.
Always blonde hair, long blonde hair.
Yes, no roots showing.
Nah. You know, fine, I guess, for a time, but in modern day world, Barbie's just thought of as a bit of a, you know, throwback to an era when, you know, it was just a different time, and what Barbie stands for, not really what we're all about these days.
It has changed though, hasn't it? The doll, there's been consideration to being politically correct and making it a bit more of a realistic women's shape, I believe.
Well, maybe. I don't know. I haven't seen
it. Yeah, I think they, over the years, they've tried to change the shape so she's a more realistic role model for young girls to aspire to.
By the by, the figures of superheroes or action figures for boys, they are just as you know, outlandish.
Mm.
Like, look at those Superman figures. Like, people don't look like that.
I had a He-Man figure. Do you know He-Man? Do you remember He-Man?
Of course I know He-Man.
Yeah, he had muscles on muscles, this action figure.
He was giving us unrealistic body image expectations.
Mm.
Except for his hair. He had a bad haircut. Probably any of us could manage that. But, yeah, so Barbie have been doing some good things, apparently. But this week, they've done a really cool thing, I reckon. They are making historic women Barbies. So three famous women from history, an artist, Frida Kahlo,
mm-hmm.
a explorer or an adventurer, Amelia Earhart.
Earhart, yes.
Katherine Johnson, who featured in the recent movie Hidden Figures. She was like a code breaker, I think.
Oh, okay.
Still alive. So they've made figures of these famous women, and they look quite cool. You know, that's they're an interesting kind of figure, sort of thing I could imagine kids would still want to play with. But at the same time, they represent a real person who's done some amazing things, and the dolls come with that sort of background info, the history, which sounds a bit, I don't know, do kids care? But as a parent, I'm thinking, you know, I know how kids love these figures. To be able to hand one over and say, oh, this is a real person. And, you know, even just saying she was an artist or she knew how to fly a plane. That's a really cool thing. if they were doing boy versions, like, I would for sure hand over, like, you know, here you go, son. Here's a Einstein doll. He loved science. That's great. Yeah. So good move, I reckon. Do you
Edmund
think it's
Hillary, something like that? Yeah.
A Hillary doll. Edmund Hillary. Right. I thought Hillary Clinton could be a Barbie.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe she'll be in phase two.
Web guy, this is a fantastic idea because it doesn't, unlike other attempts to mix fun and education, it doesn't change how a young child will play with this action figure doll.
Yes.
Well, it may. It may, but they can play with it. They can still have tea parties with these dolls if they want, or with the knowledge they have about these dolls is that, yeah, they could be flying a plane across foreign countries or creating fantastic art. I love it. It's good.
The vintage Barbie, I remember, she was always like, oh, you know, she's just in the kitchen, she might be cooking, and then, oh, I've got a Corvette, you know.
Yes, you everyone know, remembers the Corvette.
The Corvette.
And the camper van, that was...
Yeah. So to be able to say, oh, here's a doll, and, you know, we're going to go and crack a code and help end the war, or, you know, that's just a fun thing.
And what we learn about kids is they soak up all of this information.
Oh,
when they have an interest in something,
yes,
they will soak it up. So you wouldn't be surprised if your young daughter had one of these Barbie dolls that they'd go, do you know that Amelia Earhart did this and that?
Mm.
That'd be fantastic.
Yes.
Fantastic.
And that's why that's so great. Not just these ones. Barbie have also done a Shiro line, which is hero with an S in the front.
Shiro.
Like a she-hero.
Okay.
Hmm. And there's an Australian that's made it onto the list. So they've made, like figures of famous or, you know, noted women who have achieved great things. Olympic snowboarder Chloe Kim has been turned into a Barbie. The director of Wonder Woman, Patty Jenkins, has been turned into a Barbie.
Mm-hmm.
There's a few other worthy people. How's this one? Conservationist Bindi Irwin.
Hey.
Turned into a Barbie.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. And, of course, the toy company will make a mint because there's so many of them, so many great people. And why not base it on someone? Why come up with some silly storyline that you've come up with yourself when there are real stories that are great?
Yeah, it just works. Great idea.
Now, International Women's Day has been and gone since this podcast was recorded. And I think it's a great idea, but some things worry me sometimes, Web Guy. And I'm probably getting into dangerous territory here.
Mm-hmm.
Are you just going to nod and go, uh-huh?
No. Look, you know, we can talk. We can have a conversation.
Well, there was an incident in Canberra recently where the opposition's Tanya Plibersek was doing a speech about moves to improve things like pay equality in the workforce and things like that. And a male journalist was there, and he asked a question to her about the Adani coal mine, which was one of the topical parts, another topic
gotcha.
From the news.
Gotcha, yeah.
And throughout the crowd, there was a growing, a jeering and booing of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And yep. I just thought, he's just doing his job. He's not belittling what the speech was about.
I need to find out one important thing. Mm. Was this the very first question asked after she had said her bit?
I think it was.
That's a problem. That's a bit off, I think, because, you know, the in this example, the politician, they do their media call. They've got the thing they want to talk about. It always seems a bit, just in any context, it seems harsh when the very first question is completely unrelated to what they just talked about. Shouldn't there be just even a token, like just a token follow-up on what she has just talked about first?
There is a lot of that. You go to a media conference, you politely ask a question about a topic, but then you speak to the person, the woman, whoever that you want, you actually want the topic. But as a journalist, I know sometimes it's all about seizing the moment. If you don't get your chance to ask the question that your editor has asked for,
yes,
you may not get another chance in that press conference to butt in and get the angle that you're after. So
yeah,
I guess I can see both sides now. Thank you, Web Guy, for your even-mindedness. And there was another story I heard recently where I believe he was a music producer, came under fire for using an all-male crew. So whether that was from production all the way through to the people involved in actually recording the music. And I just thought, and from the woman reporter speaking about it, he doesn't have a background of being sexist. He's very much a person that feels pride in having equality, and it was just an oversight. To me, we're just going too far. That I think this person probably just went, all right, I want to hire this person. It was probably all on merit. So I think we got to just, I don't know, balance it out.
Yeah, merit's the thing. You don't want this quota situation to be. Although maybe you do. Maybe if things are so far out of whack, it just needs to.
Are they still out of whack, though?
I read an interview about the music industry, and I reckon the music industry could be, you know, Hollywood's gone through this, you know, upheaval of, you know, Time's Up, or, you know, hashtag Me Too, like the male domination is sort of being overthrown. I reckon the music industry could be shaping up to be next, because I reckon by all reports, there's a heck of a lot of, you know, they call it misogyny through the music industry. You know, it's a real bloke's world. So maybe there are some problems there. Maybe it does need to be straightened out.
Yep, maybe I need a bit more educating.